We are in an interview with Mr. and Mrs. Clarence Bailey in their home in Morrill, Kansas, on the 28th day of April, 1978. Now, I wonder, Clarence, I guess you are the first person on deck here. Would you give us a little bit of a background of your family, who your dad was, your mother, where they came from, where they lived, and take it on back to your grandparents in any way you care to develop?
Well, I'm going to take you back to Mattoon, Illinois. My grandfather was raised there, and my father was born there. He was the first child born to a family of 10 children after the Civil War. Grandpa had 4 children, and he was in the service almost 4 years, and he came back. And from Mattoon, Illinois, they moved to Kirksville, Missouri, the spring of...
It's just
2 years after the war is over. 67.
67.
67.
Now, we didn't get your dad's first name nor your grandfather.
My dad was John William.
John William Bailey.
Grandpa was Henry C. Bailey.
Henry C. Now, it's your grandfather's one who was obviously in the Civil War and moved back to.
And then in 1881, the family split up, and father came with 2 other brothers and a sister to Clermont, Missouri, Burlington Junction, between Clermont and Burlington Junction, Missouri. You probably know where that is.
I know about it.
Close to Maryville, uh-huh. County seat. In 81. And then father met my mother in 85. And they were married in 87. And I was born in 1890. Brother Frank in 1892, my sister in 1894, and Brother Henry, who has passed away in an automobile wreck, in 1896. We're just 2 years apart.
Now, your sister, you didn't give her a given.
And she passed away, and she's 17 months old, what they call colon phantom.
I see.
Teething. Then...
Anna May is the sister's name. She fills us in here.
Anna May was her name. Wasn't it?
Anna May was her name. And then we moved to Skidmore, Missouri in 1899. And we went to grade schools there. And Frank and I did something that we never found anybody out here. We took our first high school, worked 8 miles from town, under a teacher who got to be county superintendent, and her husband got to be county superintendent ahead of her, and they were married, and he was state superintendent of schools.
Is that right?
We had some wonderful teachers, and we took math and science and Southwick Goddard's English 8 miles from town. Then we came to Kansas, and my mother passed away in 1900, 62 years before my father passed away.
Is that right?
And let's see, we came to Kansas in 1907. We've been here this fall in October. It'll be 71 years, the 12th day of October, that we landed here in a covered wagon.
Is that right?
And we've lived here and been a part of the neighborhood and the Church of the Brethren at Morrill ever since.
Now, let's see. Did we get, I'm backing up now. Did we get your mother's maiden name in this?
My mother's name was Christina Anna Carmichael.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how many cousins away, but we're related to Hoagie. We established that a long time ago.
He even got a nose like
him. Oh,
and we got some musicians in the family that can do things that Hoagie never could do.
I bet that's right. We've heard of some of them.
Well, Alice Ruth, our daughter. There's no way in the world between the sun up in the morning and the sun down in the evening to fool her on a pitch of any kind of an instrument or human voice.
Hmm.
She can even tell you if you blow a tone on a slide trombone, then another, and then blow one, tell you which it's the closest to.
She's got perfect,
it's just phenomenal.
Perfect pitch, in other words, huh?
Oh, perfect. Hmm. Both give and take.
Is that right?
But it's not an asset.
I suppose it's driver crazy when somebody sings flat.
But it proved after she graduated, first college in 1948. She taught music 2 years at Bueller, Kansas, and it got her down, blowing blue notes. She told me one time, come home, visit. I was running the milking machine down on the farm, milking a lot of cows. She said, just go that way every time I hear one. I had to quit it. Uh-huh. Went to English and Latin.
Do you remember this coming out here in a covered wagon?
Oh, real well. I was 17 years old.
Well, yeah, you would. Where did you... is there anything you can tell us about that experience?
Oh, that was a short duration, of course. We started and came down to Rulo. And we had two wagons and four horses. One was a covered wagon. We came down to Rulo, Nebraska, and then over here the next day, got over here northwest of Morrill. I had an uncle that lived close there. Early the next day.
You would have
only
had pretty,
56 miles from here to where we lived.
You'd had pretty decent roads, though, in those days.
Oh, fair. They were all dirt,
not paved,
I can tell you that.
You would,
and there's no bridge there. We crossed on a ferry boat.
Oh.
It could take two buggies, but they couldn't take two wagons. We had two leeboard ferry. You know what that is, don't you? Turn the boat around, let the current turn a big 3 by 12, 16-foot board down and let the current take you across.
Oh? No, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, leeboard ferry.
Well, let's see. We may think of other things. I don't know whether we have all of the right questions asked you or not. Let's let your wife get her family into this, then we'll come back and get the two of you together on some things. We could get your maiden name and your parents and some more. Well, that would be fine.
Okay.
I think she's loaded for bear here. She has.
Well,
I'll
tell you, this is called an anything book. Alice Ruth gave it to me, and she said she wanted things like that. His family, my family, and how we met and where and so on.
Well, good.
For posterity, I guess.
I'm glad she urged you to do that.
Well, I was Bertie Mannon. My father was John Mannon, the son of Hugh Mannon. He was born in Pennsylvania, but came to Ohio when a small child. His mother died when he was 17 years old. I never saw her. John Mannon married Rachel Stockman from Bryan, Ohio. To this union was born four daughters, two in Ohio, Cora Ida and Aura Addie, and the two youngest in Kansas. Jenny May, born in 1885, and Bertie Ruth in 1895. The family came to Kansas in 1878. They landed in Solomon, Kansas. They settled on a farm 3 miles east of Gypsum and lived there the rest of their lives. Solomon was their nearest town, 14 miles, for several years before Gypsum was founded in 1886. Oh, I don't think you know what all this.
Now, you're referring to here, this would be your parents that you're mm-hmm. speaking of.
Mm-hmm. And that was just 40 miles from McPherson, mm-hmm. then, where I live. Mm-hmm. Well...
Did you have the names of your dad's brothers and sisters and your mother's brothers and sisters? If you don't have it, don't bother.
Well, they were all in Ohio. I guess I could think of all of them. I don't have.
Did you ever know of any of the Mannons that came to Iowa or that went to Oklahoma or that went to Idaho?
No. My father wanted to go to Oklahoma when that strip opened up down there, but my mother said she was far enough west. She didn't want to go any farther because she thought Kansas was terrible. No. My father was the oldest, John. Then my uncle George Mannon, who was the minister. Do you ever hear of him?
Well, I don't
He was
know.
The elder of the Abilene churches. There was Navarre, Holland, and Abilene. He was there for years. And then there was two brothers in Ohio, Wesley and Jerry. There were two sisters, Lily and Sarah.
Well, that helps in case somebody starts using this to run down genealogies, when this will help. You commented by phone that one of your sisters was one of the early students at the college.
Yeah, that was my oldest sister. And the way that happened, she was just finished country school, you know, and she had gone forward in a Methodist revival at Gypsum. And I don't know how it came about, but Dr. Sharp wrote to the folks, or visited them, I don't know which, and said, send her down to McPherson, which they did. And just
now, were you brethren at that time? Were your folks brethren?
Well,
you and
they didn't. They weren't brethren. That his mother was raised a brethren, but they didn't join the church until after they came to Kansas. But they sent her down to McPherson, and in a short time they got a letter. I don't remember how long. Of course, I wasn't there. But he wrote and said, come down Sunday. We're going to baptize your daughter. So, to my knowledge, I'm not sure. Now, what was the first year of...
Well, I think students were there in 1888, the first year. The college was founded, I think, in 87, but I don't think they had students that fall.
Well, I've always heard that she was there the first year the college was open.
Yeah.
Then my second sister, she went by the name of her first name at McPherson, Aura Addy. And she went there, was there in 1895, the year I was born. She came home to take care of me. And she asked Mother if she couldn't name the baby. And Mother said, well, what would you call her? And she said, well, there's a girl at McPherson that I like so well, and her name is Birdie. And it's B-E-R-D-I-E. Mother said, that sounds like kind of a babyish name. But she still insisted that if she came home from school to take care of me, she ought to have the right to name. So Mother said, all right, we'll call her Birdie Ruth. We'll call her Birdie while she's little, and Ruth when she gets big.
Did it turn out that
I've
way?
I've never been called Ruth yet. So, now I don't know what the course was called at that time. It was just a normal course for someone that wanted to be a teacher, as I remember.
Well, they had a normal course, this is right. Mm-hmm. And would she have been there, what, a couple of years or 1 year?
Oh, I don't think. I think just that year, probably. I don't know. I don't remember about that.
I don't know either specifically, but they had courses for people who are going to teach, and they called normal training
kinds of things.
Think
that's
they had some of those fairly brief courses.
Uncle George Mannon's daughter was there the same year that my sister Addie was, 1895. Then there was a B. Mannon that went, Uncle George's boy, went there several years later. He died with appendicitis in 1923, I think it was, so he was there sometime before that. But I don't remember how long he was there.
Well,
then the third sister, she had getting married on the brain, so she didn't go to McPherson. And I didn't go any place until, I think it was W.O. Beckner came up to our place one time, and he said, wouldn't you like to go to McPherson to school? And I said, well, maybe I would like to. So from then on, I kind of planned that way. Clarence was there first in 1915, and I went in fall of 16. But my mother had a stroke, and I was only there 2.5 years, so that was the extent of my college days.
Now, you spoke about W.O. Beckner. Did you remember John W. Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
The reason I raise that question, we talked to Mrs. Dieter in California. She's still teaching art students. She was teaching there about that time.
I remember the name.
Dieter, you see?
Mrs. John W. Dieter.
I've seen the name in Messenger, but I never met her, I'm sure.
She what?
She wasn't there in 15 or 16 because I was.
Well, she was there in 17 or 18.
She was Ethel Stump.
Was then.
Oh, wait a minute.
Because I was there in 15, 16, 17, and 18.
Wait a minute, she says her name was Stump.
Ethel Stump, do you remember?
Well, that's different.
Yeah, we did you know her?
Not Ethel, I knew Nora Stump from Walt Lake, Texas.
It's Ethel, not Ethel.
You remember her, don't you?
Ethel, not Ethel.
She says it's Ethel.
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 Oh, I never heard that name before.
Well, I didn't know her.
Well, she's one of the Texas Stumps, I guess. Or Harley Stump's aunt.
Well, the Stump girls were from Texas, too.
Yeah. Well, we also saw Evelyn Trosel.
Oh, I remember her.
You remember her?
Oh, Meatworth?
No, Evelyn.
Huh? Evelyn.
English teacher.
Oh, yeah, I had English into her.
Yeah, she's out in Palo Alto, California. Just now? Yeah, you people are just kids.
All of them are gone, but Moeller.
Yeah, we've talked to Ethel.
We
talked to Mrs. Dieter. Well, let's see. Do you remember Estelle Jones?
Sure.
Talked to him?
Sure.
Yeah, we talked to him and Ray Cullen. And
Ray Cullen married us.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Where and how did that happen?
Down at my home.
Well, Ray and I were the best of friends all through school.
Is that right?
Both the same age and both matriculated down there the same day.
Yeah.
We were the closest
friends. His wife,
friend.
Marty, was my bridesmaid.
Is that right? Well,
they had never gone together even until that time. I think that was the beginning of their...
Well, I didn't know that, and I don't think they told us that, but we were out with Ray and Marty.
Did you tell them that's when we were married, that they're...
Yeah, that was my home there, Gypsum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? Marty come with him?
Well, now, was Marty or... Marty wasn't from that area.
No, she was from Idaho, but she was a good friend of mine at McPherson. Uh-huh. Ida Bowman was there at our wedding, Lewis Bowman. There,
now, wait a minute. Ida Bowman,
She married Brian Rush.
Oh, I know who she'd be.
Redhead.
She passed away just this last
summer. Bertie Room did her a couple of years.
Oh. How about Hazel Whitaker? Do you remember her?
No. That wouldn't have been her maiden
name. No, it wouldn't have. Well, didn't help there. Can't remember. We talked to some of these people, and then we...
There's a lot of them in California.
Yeah.
Brubakers.
Yeah. Crawford Brubakers. We talked to them. Both of them were there. Yeah. She was
Myrtle
Sue Flora. Yeah.
Sue.
You talked to Estelle Jones, huh?
Yeah. He's up in Baker's. He's in Fresno.
He's retired, I suspect.
Yeah.
Did his brother, Galen's, did he stay with the church?
I don't know that.
I don't believe he did.
I don't know that. I have the impression probably not, but I don't know.
He was a couple of years younger.
We saw George Watkins. Did you remember him? George Earl Watkins.
Earl. Yeah, played ball with him.
Yeah, he used to be Earl, but he got to be George, I guess, when he
was... Is that right?
Yeah.
He married a girl, a neighbor of ours in Missouri, Chris.
No.
Orpha Andes.
Orpha Andes, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, she's not living. She just died within the last year, I think.
Orpha did?
Mm-hmm. Last August.
Is that right? Yeah, she was raised right close to neighbor to me in Missouri.
Oh?
At the Bethel Church over there.
I guess maybe we didn't know that. Yeah, she's Floss... No, she's...
Grover's
sister.
Mm-hmm. And the Ellenbergers, you heard them. They lived there at that place for a while.
Yeah, I heard the name.
Yeah.
When he was on the... Bale Quartet, I think it
was. He was
a
pastor there, and his wife was a wonderful writer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she was really good.
Well, tell us something about the two of you. We already found out who married you now.
It's in here, too.
What have you been doing these last several years? I mean, these last 50 or whatever number of years, or 60 or...
It'll be 59 years in December. Well, we've been on a farm all the time. I thought I was marrying a banker, but it turned out he was a farmer.
What made you think you were marrying a banker?
Well, he took that work at
McPherson. I took a 2-year commerce course down there. I took one under Blair and the next one under Freeze. And I took everything that was offered from McPherson in the business line.
And then she says you didn't turn out to be a banker.
It got me a wonderful job in the Army, the First World War, and I've never used it since.
But, is that right? What did you do in the service?
I was a company clerk in a big company. Mm-hmm. 133 men.
Worked that he took at McPherson, you see.
Yeah. Well, there were
a good job.
Several of you guys around there. that were in the service, as I remember from the catalogs, from the annuals. We carry some of the old college annuals, so we sort of identify.
Ellen Engel was there, Leland Haldeman, Irene Huffman, Goldie Sawyer, Leela Myers. Oh, there was a bunch of us from Morrill down there.
Maxies. About three Maxies.
Yeah, let's see. We, well, if you know,
there's an old timer. That's the quartet.
Well, now, let's see. I guess I don't say the names of those people, but,
Well, this is Professor Rowland, you know. And this was an Ellenberger, wasn't it, Clarence?
I don't remember now.
And,
I can see a little.
Oh, you ought to know him.
This is Roland, that's Ellenberger, and that's Art Price,
Art
and that's
Price,
Leland Haldeman.
Yeah.
That's the best quartet they ever had there. Boy, they were really a buzz. Can you remember them when they sang?
You better put the names on.
I don't
that.
Know.
Somebody
don't
won't know.
No, she wouldn't have. See, she was born about that time.
Mm, I see.
So
I was
wouldn't.
In several
were you
her
born
dad's
in
classes.
No. In McPherson, when the folks were in school there.
I was in a class with your dad, and so was he, I'm sure.
Dad graduated in 21.
But I think it was an expression class that I was in with him, public speaking or something like that.
Miss McVeigh there when you were?
Oh,
she
no.
Well, we had some of the same people. We had R.E. Moeller, and we had Morris Hess, and you did too, I suppose.
No, we didn't have Morris Hess, but Alice Ruth
he
did.
He came after that.
Alice Ruth. I don't know whether he took a liking to Alice Ruth, but anyhow, she was invited to their home for Sunday dinner, and she thought she was on top of the world being invited to the Hess home for Sunday dinner.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, several of the students said, how did you ever work that?
Yes.
She said, I didn't work it.
Yeah. Well, he's an interesting guy. We talked to Nindinger. He's just as alert as he can be now. Was he there when you were there?
No, no.
He must have come shortly after that sometime.
He's still in the meter business?
Not much. I think he sold his collection.
He's living in Arizona, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he walks 4 miles every day, and he's working on his 11th book. And he's more agile than I am.
Clarence walks, the only man in town, I think, that walks after his mail.
No?
Almost. All of them that went to school there is dead but me.
You tell that to
my age? At my age?
Look, what do you think we've been doing this semester?
Well, but Clarence, you see, he was older than
I'll be 88 next month.
Oh, you're coming along. You're one of... We've talked to some kids like you.
I've been in away for quite a while.
And I'm 83, so we've got 171 years between us.
Well, you're about the same age as Ray Cullen.
I am the same age as
you. We talked to some people quite a little older than you are.
Do you know Clay Young?
Huh?
No. Did you know Clay Young?
No, Clay was there before they were. He graduated in 1912.
Clay Young, I don't know.
He was a local McPherson guy.
Oh.
Yeah, we talked to some around there a good while before you were.
Oh,
but,
when was Russell there?
Well, Floyd 1912.
Well,
Russell
I wonder.
Was there, I think.
We talked to Robert Russell. In Kalamazoo, Michigan, who is a brother to the other Jewett Russell. But this Russell graduated in 1912. He's still very alert. But he's
right.
Yeah, and we talked to several before that. Yeah. Talked to Raymond C. Flory, the guy that I was named after.
Is that right?
He was a missionary in the China field when I was born. He was in the same class as Doc Moeller. We talked to his sister in Chicago, Mrs. S. C. Miller. So you people don't have any monopoly on anything. You're doing all right for youngsters.
Youngsters.
What's been the most important part of your farming operation through the years, do you think? As you think about the years you've been at it, general farming?
General farming, stock raising. More stock raising than farming. I had a small farm most of the time. The last several years that I farmed, I bought a lot more grain and fed it than I raised on my farm.
Mm-hmm.
Way a lot more.
Did you handle a good many head of livestock when you...
Yes, I had as high as 180 ewes at a time, 12, 14, 16 cows, and about 16 sows raised pigs. Oh, I went in for stock. I was really in.
So you...
Alice Ruth started milking when she was 7 years old.
Is
and
that
she
right?
Never quit till after she finished high school. As soon as she left to go to McPherson, He bought a milking machine.
Well, I was going to say, did she use a milking machine? Or?
No, just like this. Yeah. That big old Holstein cow scared me to death.
Well, I grew up pulling on some of those old cows, too.
Well, I bought the best milking machine made at De La Valle. Mm-hmm. There's no mate for it.
Now, where did you live when you were farming?
Down a quarter of a mile north of Hamlin and a quarter west. East here, 3 miles to the brick house on the corner. You know where that is?
Well,
east 3 miles to the brick house. That's the northwest corner of our place. Come up to that and run down nearly to Hamlin.
What did you, how big a acreage did you
just
have?
Just 80 acres, 80 but acres. I farmed some other land outside. But I never owned a tractor.
Is that right?
I had a lot of good horses, but I never owned a tractor. I never liked grease.
Mm-hmm. Well, you may have gotten along just as well handling livestock like you're doing.
Some of the fellows made fun of me, committed suicide. You know, they got dead. And, two neighbors there.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, through the years, you've seen a lot happen in this church.
Oh, yes. Yes, a lot happened. I hate to see the attendance go down, but that's all over like that.
I think it is.
Yes, it's all over.
Now, who was pastor when you came here?
When I came here, they didn't have a salaried pastor yet. Charles M. Urout was pastor, and they gave him a little money along through the year. And the first pastor we had that got a salary was $800, and C.B. Smith came here in 1910 from Red Cloud, Nebraska, and he built this house. He was a master builder, and he got a young fellow to help him. He built this house.
Well, it looks like a very good house yet.
Never any children lived in it. There's not a place in it you can see a scratch.
Is that right?
Oh, never. Judge Smith's and C.B. Smith's and us without any children. There isn't a scratch anywhere in it.
Well, what do you know? That in itself is pretty unique. I had to really look.
Well, even the doors are beveled glass.
Is that right?
Well, and we've got steam heat.
That's still the best heat for my money.
It's the best in the world.
I think it is.
It don't vary an eighth of a degree just wherever you put that thermostat over there. That's where it stays.
And you get these guys sending their decrees out of Washington. They say you've got to put a blower in that moves so many hundred cubic feet of air a minute and all that junk. And they're crazy.
I'm wondering if it's anybody in the Washington
that is. There's no way to shut the door.
I wonder sometimes if there's anybody there that isn't crazy.
Yeah, I wonder that myself.
Don't let him get started on politics.
I don't let me either. I have some of the same feelings.
I was going to say, if you can keep Clarence from getting on politics, I'll try to keep Raymond off of politics.
Well, how long was W.H. Oder here then? Did he follow
11 years. He came in 19 and he left in 1930.
Mm-hmm.
That's when Paul Longenecker came, and he left in the 1st of September was our pastoral beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the gardens, cooling and everything, we got that worked out very nicely all through the years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's stayed right there.
Who have you had since, after Longenecker?
Well, after we had Longenecker, then we had Baldwin. J.F. Baldwin, and then we had Kinsey, and then we had another Baldwin, and then we had...
Who was your second Baldwin?
Oh, his first name was... he had a daughter, McPherson.
Yeah, I was thinking it's
Seab. Huh? Was it something like Cleland or something like that?
Seems to me. I was trying to put a C something. Yeah,
what?
I think I know that.
Well, Cleland, he didn't like his name.
Yeah, he didn't like his name, so we didn't know what it was.
Seems like a CM
here.
Or something or other.
We didn't know what his first name was after
right?
He's gone from here. Cleland, I think, was it.
Something like that. It was a C in it.
Leland, wasn't it?
No.
And they call it Leland.
Well,
it may have been. I remember the name.
Baldwin was his
daughter.
You know.
And then we had Pearson and Correll, who is at Abilene now. And then we had a man that's in McPherson, retired. He came and stayed with us. He said the fire were 40 years younger, I'd like to stay in Morrill.
James Ford. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, he fit in the best of any elderly man that I ever saw.
Is that right?
The little children, he'd pay attention to them, and just loved him. Mm-hmm. All ages. I never saw anything quite like it.
Well, good. We know the guy.
Yeah.
Well, has the church here maintained any kind of history of itself? Does this church have I see you have some stuff there on the family.
Oh, that's nothing about the church.
Well, it's something pretty important. I wish people would do that. Does the church have minutes?
Oh, yes.
Have they been preserved, this kind of thing?
I don't know what they've done with the minutes. When I was clerk longer than anybody else was ever clerk at Morrill, 21 years. And I kept a complete record of everything. And when Kinsey came was the first time that any pastor ever wanted a good record kept of everything, mm-hmm. and I did. The baptisms and events, I just recorded them in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where they are and whether they threw away some of the old books. They used to church them and raise fuss around about what people wore, you know. Some of them did.
I wish
I had. They benched a lot of them.
Those books, those are the most valuable things you had. See, that's what I'd like to have if they're around. They've been ditched, I suppose.
I differ with you there.
You know, I said
I'm kind of glad to see some of them burnt up.
It seemed to me like that they paid more attention to who went to a circus or who wore a necktie than they did to increasing the church rule.
Yeah, I think this is right. And nobody really, I suppose, enjoys what they did.
And some things in them books that you'd hate to have their family know about.
Well, I suppose there's a bunch of discussion
things
there.
That were stolen, you know, and things like that.
Kirk used to tell us in the psychology class, he said, people go down.
You're talking about Kurtz, and I heard you talk about Maxie a while ago. Was Maxie back on campus when you were there with
who?
His John W. Maxie?
Oh, I roomed with him the first year. Was down there.
Was he flying when you were?
Yeah, he flew in the First World War. He was a wonderful flyer.
Well, this is what
he had the
heard.
Keenest sense of equilibrium that I ever saw in a man. We went down to a barbershop downtown there. Put him in a borrowed chair and whirl him. Do you think he'd bring to go out his ears? When he stopped, he could name everybody in the room. Nobody else in town could do it.
Well,
he made quite a record.
Well, you never
heard him read, did you?
No, I never knew that.
He had the world beat on declamation. Oh, he was outstanding, way up above everybody. But he couldn't write as good a theme or a short story as I could to save his neck.
Hmm. Was he an ornery guy or just a...
Amos Boone was the greatest writer down there. Him and Lester Kimmel, those two were the two best. And if Maxie could... they put an oration together. They used to have an at the back of contest, and a liquor, you know, and peace contest and everything. Maxie would just take everything.
Well, I've seen that in the old annuals. He just seemed to win things.
Yep.
Just pretty much everything.
Yeah, I roomed in the first year, and then... The next 2 years, I roomed the Bowman boys for the quitter.
Oh. Now...
Joe, Lewis, and Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
I slept with the doctor in Chicago
for
9 months.
Well, was Curtis a brother of those guys?
No. Curtis's father was a half-brother to the other boys.
I see.
He was an older... George.
Mm-hmm.
He was an older man. Mm-hmm. George always wanted to be a doctor... And he never could make it out in that short grass country, and they got about two crops out of five there. We're lucky, you know, out around Quitter. And so he wanted Curtis to. And he was poor as a church mouse. He wore my clothes pretty near every time he went anywhere.
Is that right?
And he hadn't been in Chicago long till he'd mind being out and throw me in the ditch every day or two and still be better off than I was.
Well, we heard the other day, and I can't remember the figures quite, but... How many thousand babies did he do there? 17,000 babies, I think, Curtis Bowman delivered and never lost a mother. Somebody from Chicago.
Oh, he was a scientist. I tell you, he was a scientist. You know, when he was a junior, they start their major in that line, you know. And one morning we went across the campus going over to class and met Dr. Harnley. He had an old flat black hat and then a veil tied down under his chin. It was cold, you know, and Curtis, he was doing deep spectrum lens drawing, you know. And he said, "Doctor, I got my work all done." And he said, "What do you want me to do next?" And the old man looked around and saw a pine tree. He said, "You go there." That was west of the old library. He said, "You go over there and get 5 or 6 of those pine cones and cross-section, saw them in two." And he said, "I'll give you a couple of days, 3 days, to find life in every state you can find it in, old dead cones. Then you tell me about it. There's a lot of life in there, boy. There's a lot of it in there." And Curtis found the big end of it. Oh, he was just out of this world.
Well, I think his record would seem to indicate that.
Oh, he was good. He was a scientist. To the nth degree.
Were the guys in the dormitory when you were there pretty well behaved? All nice guys, I suppose.
Oh, for the most part, yeah.
We have felt that people were more serious then than some. I mean,
I can't recall we ever had anybody that was bad.
They were mischievous. Ray Cullen was one of them, I think.
Yeah, Ray was telling us a little of that.
Ray and I were the two most privileged guys around there, I guess. We were the only boys in Fanistock Hall that could go over in Arnold Hall. Arnold Hall wasn't there when I first went there. I caught Watkins and I taught baseball right where the middle of Arnold Hall is.
Oh.
They batted out toward the old cement block gymnasium. You remember that?
Yeah.
And then they built that the next year, and Bertie was down there the first year. Her and I had a Boomman roomed in the northeast part of that, in the room number 12.
Now, when they put that up, they put that building all went up at once, so the whole thing was there. Arnold Hall.
Yeah, Arnold
it
Hall.
Was just for girls.
And then they had
the
kitchen and the dining room at the bottom
yeah.
there.
Basement. Well, it was that way when we were there, so we...
Yeah.
It's been that way.
But it isn't now. It's for...
They use it for art. They don't... Yeah, they don't use it for food at all. In fact, we don't use the building.
No, but I mean, isn't it for married couples or what?
Well, not in Arnold.
It's Klein Hall.
Oh, that's Klein.
Arnold hasn't had married couples in, I guess.
Oh,
it's, they've used the food service there up until, until we got the new union. But it hasn't been there.
The old library is the only thing that's left there is when I went there the first time. There's
I
not
suppose,
another brick there that was there then.
I suppose that's right.
Yeah.
Well, there aren't too many that were there when we graduated in 1940.
Yeah, that's right.
Most of them are new since then.
Klein Hall, they hadn't thought about that. They had the plans at that first year I was down there to build Arnold Hall, and started it, finished the next spring.
Well, I don't know. We just sit here and quiz you people about all kinds of things. We're glad for these...
Well, you didn't ask yet how we met.
No, you didn't tell us.
Oh, she likes to tell us.
Yeah, let's get the straight scoop on this.
Well, I tell you, I was sitting in the matron's room, which was Miss Trussell, Laura Trussell, and Leland Halderman was in the room. We were talking to the matron. He looked out the window and he said, "Oh, there comes Bailey." And he run out of there like he hadn't. And he run down those steps, and when he got where they was, they hugged each other and kissed each other. And I thought, what kind of a guy is that? That, you know. So I never paid any more attention about it till one evening they were having a skating party, ice skating. And, a group went. Nobody was dating that I know about. But after we skated a while, one of my skates came off. And he came over. He was a good skater. He had skated all his life.
Now,
you
this
know.
Is Clarence here that you're talking
yes.
about.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And so he came over to help me put that skate on. But instead of putting it on, he said, "Let's take the other one off and go to the show."
I did.
But really, that was the first, I guess, the first date I ever had, and never he went with other girls. He even took Dorothy Miller to a ball game one night and forgot her and left her there.
Oh, boy.
He
got wrapped up in a ball game. But anyhow, that was just the beginning. Beginning of all of it, I guess. But
That's real interesting. We're glad to... You spoke about going to a show. What kinds of shows did you go to?
Oh, I don't know. It was down there in that old theater. Oh. I say I don't know what the show was. It was that old theater down there.
The old opera house, the big old place.
Oh, the Coons Theater down there, that three-story building. They had good shows down there then. Oh, boy. They had Lyman Howe. They had Lyman Howe there. And in the winter, they had a swell lecture course in. Mm-hmm. Montreville Wood, partner of Edison, worked together in the same room for 12 years, demonstrated his, what you call it? What did he invent?
No, the what? Light bulb?
Montreville Wood.
No. Well,
gyroscope.
Gyroscope.
Yeah, gyroscope. And he flew it. Took a searchlight and flew airplanes around there in that building. Yeah, mm-hmm. Got just round and around and around. And they had the real.
Well, now
real electric
that was the old building down on the east side of Main Street, the south end. Yeah. Well, it was built, and it was the opera house when it was first built, and it was called lots of other things too.
I think so.
Yeah, that building is on
the
National.
McPherson College and Chamber of Commerce. I don't know who all is involved anymore, but they put on electrical. It was a good one.
Well, he went to the Army then, you know. I see, he went to the Army then, and nothing was said about getting married, but after he was down there, he sent me that ring.
Oh? Where was he when he sent that? This is
Las Cruces, Mexico, when he got the ring, but I think he was...
That's off of stick candy, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's down in Las Cruces. He probably went across the border and got that over to Mexican Hawk Shop. Must have done a pretty good job. She's still wearing it, Clarence. Well, that's real interesting. And you were married then by Ray Cullen, you said, over in...
At Gypsum. At my home. Mm-hmm. Then we came up to... Morrill moved out. We went to Rock Creek, the church, for 6 years, which is a church north of Sebelia. And we lived on a farm then, right across the road from his brother Frank Bailey. Mm-hmm. And they moved to Sebelia then. We moved around different places.
Oh, we rented quite a little while.
Alfred was born in that up there. We lived there 6 years. She was born in 1925. 1919.
I bought a fruit farm in Florida a long time before I ever saw her. I made a little money on that. I'd have made a lot more if I'd have just kept it a little while longer. Got to be $2,800 to make
it.
I bought that in 1912 and sold it in 1925. Mm-hmm. And she had a couple of places. I sold them and sold that down there. Mm-hmm. Got out of the dirt business, all but a little out the cemetery here.
Yeah. You spoke about Alice Ruth. Now, she married Dave Stern.
That's right.
And what are they doing now? Just for the tape here.
He's a teaching school, and she's a homemaker.
Mm-hmm. They waited 12 years before they had a baby. After she came, she said, there was a lot of jobs open there in Dixon, but she said, I waited 12 years for this baby, so I'm going to stay home and take care of her.
Now, what's the girl's name?
Rachel, named after my mother.
Rachel.
So, Dave went. They went there in 1960. He as a counselor in the Dixon High School. And in 5 years' time, he had 3 heart attacks.
Is that right?
And the doctor told him, if you want to live, you've got to quit that counseling job. Hi.
How are you?
Well, I'm all right, I guess. You want on... This is our pastor's wife. Come on in.
Not alone.
Hi there.